You're listening to Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, where we talk about what it means to be en route with Jesus in our day-to-day life. Navigating life and faith in our complex and changing society is hard. Our goal is to keep you unterwegs with Jesus, moving forward as you follow God's calling on your life. Hi there, I'm Mike Pecanato, and today is episode 12 of Unterwegs, the En Route podcast. And today is part two of a two-part series I recorded with my friend, musician Benny Kunda, in a new format that I'm testing out, five questions with different people. And if you want to see what those questions are, you can see them in the podcast notes underneath. Enjoy the interview with Benny today. I really enjoy doing it. He's a good friend of mine. So what's one of the most important risks you have taken? And why did you take it?
Corporate suicide. Did you know what corporate suicide means?
No.
That means when you give up, you know, all that's what you're good in and where people respect you and you're in a good company and you get a lot of several requests of good jobs and you just trash them and say, I don't want to have anything to do anymore with that. 2009, around that time, you know, around my 30s, I was serving or like working in the area of assistive technologies. This is like, you know, technologies for people with disabilities who are, yeah, not able to communicate either than using a communicator or an eye tracking system or different devices. So it's all in the field of rehabilitation. Here in Germany, it's sponsored over the health insurance, and in America also it's a big topic. I went once to the biggest conferences there, to Orlando, all these different companies from all of America came there to share their products, and we had a huge conference. It was lovely. It was my only time in America, by the way. You know, then in 2009, I was working in a governmental-funded project. I was good in what I did. I was teaching a logopedic school. I had my own, you know, subject I invented with my colleague together. I was teaching in a Hochschule, like a university in Mannheim. I was bringing out several publications. I was like, I was the best in this consulting area in that field. One of the best. And so many international companies and national companies were really looking after me. And that was 2009. The unlucky part of it was in that transition time. So what I did is I you know, in Germany, you have the agency of work. And so you can apply for like a help to get a freelance ship, you know, and I applied for that and I got that money for 1 year. I had to make a business plan and all that. So I started my own company called Kunde Consulting. I wanted to do it together with a colleague, but he had kids as well. So he waited longer. He started 1 year later. So I started alone. I got several requests from big companies in Germany to be an employee, get my own car, do all this. I said no. So I started my own business, and I got like big fishes of people. You know, I got like, you know, I was writing just a small concept for a learning software for people with handicaps. I got 5,000 euros for that. I got this. And that was the first 1-2 months. Just to go back to my transition time, I was like, no, I don't want that. And that was like financially was catastrophic because, you know, my kids were small. Mm-hmm. We didn't have as much money we have now. What the agency pays you is like, agency of work pays you is like 60% maybe.
Okay.
So in the first 2-3 months, it was cool, but then money stopped and I was like not interested anymore in it. In the time, maybe you remember when I told you that I started to write more of my own songs. So what I did then in that time was starting to write my own music, finding a producer who I'm still thankful for, my good old friend Carsten Schneider, who trusted in me, and we recorded my first album. And that was all paid on the duties of the agency of work. But it was a high risk because money-wise, look, I was not good in taxes. I was like just like getting in all the money, not saving money for not saving money for the taxes. For when I earned the 5,000 euros, I just spent the 5,000 euros, but don't put like 40% aside.
Okay.
These things that really bothered me later on when I got problems with the Bureau of Finances. So
look, they wanted their 40%.
Yeah, they almost got other stuff from my house. So then I woke up. Yeah. But yeah, what I say is the most important risk I taken is like, you know, that was coming alongside with my significant transition. I found a way to really, you know, express my emotions and to put it out and come to that slowly to that point where I'm now to say what I told you in the beginning before we started the recording, like that one of my main focuses is to listen to stories and to tell stories, you know, learn from the stories and tell stories, you know, and that's what my music and the other thing is, like to touch people with that, what I have to say, and to learn from each other, always on the same level. Not that I'm the teacher, you know, but that we can learn from each other as teachers and students at the same time, but still be on the same level. And that happened that time. I just like, I freed myself and I got free. Not even I freed myself. I got freed, you know, I became free from a lot of things inside of me. And I did a high risk because ask my wife that time, my goodness, you know, that was just happening. It's not like, don't imagine like if I went for every step to my wife and said for a yes, I just did it, you know. I mean, maybe it might have been quite egoistic doing that. But I was like so much into this thing, I have to do that, you know. And I'm so proud, so happy and thankful that she let me do it. I think not many people would have gone that way with me. I can tell you honestly, because that was like not knowing where it leads to. That's why I called corporate suicide. I was in that company for such a long time. And my boss, when I left, he told me, look, you try yourself out, you will always find a way back to our company. So that was at least good. But and I went, I'm still there. But getting back into it, I started at the bottom and not where I was. It was like, whew. But I don't regret at all, because that led me to that where I'm now. And I think these risks are important, because if you just live your comfortable life, the only thing in your life is to have your family, your house, your good car, your good income, and getting more and more and more. If that is the only thing you long for in your life, inside of yourself, you're not there where you could be if you just would open up and ask yourself, where are your passions? What is that? What you really, you know, you really would like to fight for, and that's where you really would go to. But this is like getting out of your comfort zone, and getting out of your comfort zone means also like starting to trust. And and letting go. It's both like starting to trust and letting go without knowing where it leads to. And that's like, yeah. And that's why, you know, this time with the transition and this high risk, you know, that I feel like, but it prepared me for something what I was not prepared before.
What's one decision you wish you didn't make?
I was thinking about that. A tough question, Mike. I can tell you generally, there are two. Yeah, okay. Let me say. Okay. Honestly, one decision in life what I would not like have to be made is hurting people in general. I mean, I would not. You know, I could, but that's what I feel like. I feel like there are a lot of people in my life where maybe not, might not have contact to, where several things are not cleared, or like, you know, from me from the old times, or, you know, where I have that when I'm getting older, I feel like I have that urge to clear these things, and it's not so easy anymore.
Yeah.
So hurting people, you know, that hurting people in certain situations where you didn't know it better, or you did do stupid things. That's something I really, 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 really regret, because that's still in my soul. I feel like, you know, like I, in a way, now we come back to guilt, but like, it's not that I feel like it feels like it hurts, because you had people in your lives which you really loved, and then they're not there anymore. And the other thing, honestly, I think my wife would agree, but that's like some very concrete thing. When, from the perspective of being 42, I would have not getting into a relationship with my wife at the time of 19. My wife would agree. And the best would have been we just meet in the age of 30. Yeah, because I feel like, look, we were so brainwashed from our past, and that's something we lost so many years in between by suffering from our past, and that's like something which that's not that I regret that I met her, not at all. That was cool, yeah? That was a cool time, but we couldn't enjoy it as much if we could have enjoyed it. That happened just. We could not really influence it. We were teenagers. It just happened. It was not, when you're a teenager and when you're in love in that age, it's not like about some rational decision.
And the beauty of growing together. I mean, you have to say something about that too.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. I mean, of course, of course. But that's something, that's life. It's process. And you're right. Getting into that process in the last past 23 years, it's like, it's crazy and cool and adorable at the same time, but it's like to focus that, we'll talk.
It is a tough question, because we all know that mistakes that we make have played such a huge role in who we are. And that we wouldn't be who we are now if there weren't decisions that we wish we hadn't made along the way. So sometimes it's hard to separate, to look at those decisions and to say, oh yeah, I regret that, because they play such shaping roles in who we've become.
Look, another thing I want to name now is like, when I was young, I had also a totally different understanding because of what I've been taught when I was young, of how people should live or not. There was only, apart from relationship, was only about there's only a man and a girl, and you should live together, the man and the woman, and other relationship models are not there, and they're sin, But I met, at that time, I have to tell you, I met people, I was singing in certain a cappella groups, even when it still was when we were in that Christian environment. I met people who outed themselves as gays way later, and I hurt them so much. I hurt them so much with my comments, with everything, with a lot. And after that, they made a big round, not only because of me, but because of the system, big round around the church that they never would touch, go inside of a church anymore. Not because of the church itself. They were huge, fans, and they liked the worship, they liked everything. Because of the people hurting them. And that changed also a lot. That I regret also. That I regret also a lot. Because really, that's something, putting myself on that high level of big standards and double standards. I hurt in that time a lot of people like this, which I regret, which I know I've been forgiven, and which I've been asked for forgiveness as well. Also to that people, by the way, whom I could reach, and even years later sometimes. But this is very important for me, because...
Not good for you.
Yeah, and in a way, it's like something, that is like on their things in life. You can't really say, okay, that was a mistake. Maybe you see it later, yeah? But there are things clearly where you can say later it was still a mistake. you can't go around it. Not at all.
Yeah, that tendency we have, it's evilly apparent though, isn't it? That tendency we have to point out the shortcomings of other people and ignore the shortcomings of ourselves, and to so vocally condemn people. while at the same time we should just be looking inwards a lot more than we often do.
Yeah, of course.
Hmm. Benny, what role does faith play in your life?
Yeah, that's the amazing part when you see the whole story. Because that was never the thing I doubted. You know, the faith. I have to tell you, I had my discussions with God. I had my fights with God. I really, really have, and still have them sometimes. A lot of fights. Especially, but in that time, you know, where I was like complaining about a lot of things. But I know, like in myself, you know, the faith to God, you know, like, and a deep thing, you know, inside, which is very hard to explain sometimes, some foundation, which is just there, even if my ways were up and down and there and there, and, you know, it was always there. And it was planted by whom? By my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Funny. You know? And yeah. I'm very thankful about that. Very, because that kept me a lot of times. It kept me alive. It kept me, and then I mean, like how I said, it kept me literally alive. The faith kept me alive, you know, and still keeps me alive and still helps me in that times, you know. I feel like, you know, still have that downness. And I also feel like people don't like to talk so much about it, about your own mental health and all these things. But look, man. It's one of the most important things in our lives to take care of that. And I know that faith and God plays a big role in there to heal us again and again and again. And I know I suffer from that. You know, I suffer in a way. I was so many times close before burnout or in burnout and in depressions. And, you know, I tell you, mental health and all these things, you know, it's not like you pray to God and then it's totally gone, and it's always a struggle in yourself. I know God can heal me from that. God can help me to. But I know always, you know, it's also like in that time, and that I feel always in that time when these things happen, it's also like, you know, I know God is always there. He never, maybe I've been gone further from him, but not, you know, because I'm so in myself, in my own issues, but he stays there. And that's what I always felt in that whole time. It makes me feel stupid sometimes when I have destructive thoughts or when I don't feel good, and when I'm always, when my inner self struggles, you know. But I have to tell you, that is something what has always been there and so thankful for. You know, for some people it's hard when you come from this very dogmatic background and where people mix up, you know, religion and dogmas and faith. And it's for me something which been clearly helped me to separate that things, you know. And faith is something, you know, I have. That's the relationship I have. Faith is the relationship I have with that thing, that person I call God. And this is first of all personal, but then as well something I can share. You know?
Yeah. Benny, you're a person who's very authentic. I really like that about you. I think you were commenting on that earlier when you were saying, yeah, when things happen to me, people see how it impacts me, but also that you honestly feel the pain. I don't see you as anybody who's an actor. You're not playing a role. You're just, things happen to you and you interact with that very authentically. I really appreciate that about you.
Yeah. And again, at the same time, Mike, sometimes I really, could like say, okay, I'm like sometimes like, why are you so honest and authentic in that moment? Because, you know, because I feel like, you know, I'm happy having a friend and a dude like you, but I know there are people who, you know, who've not learned to be like that and then have to be patient. That's like how society is. Society is shallow and they don't, you know, it's not like about like being honest the whole time, you know. But honesty, one thing I learned as well, one of the biggest thing about honesty is being honest to yourself. Honestly, that's like something, you know, but not only because I feel like that we forget so many times. We try to be honest to other people, but what is in yourself? Are you true to yourself, you know? And that is a big question. Are you true to yourself?
What are your current projects or what's next for Benjamin Kunda?
Yeah, well, I mean, my current project was like, as we all suffered in the time of COVID-19 in a different way. This last year as an educator in the elementary school was quite kind of tough a year. It was emotionally a very tough year. I met a few really cool people where we went to also work west to a very crazy time. And I felt like I like kind of pushed away I didn't have much time to really live my passions out. So what I did, like now that was just 3 weeks back, I went with the family to the holidays for 2 weeks to the North Sea. And I gave myself the challenge to record in 10 days, 10 songs, and write them in 10 days in 10 songs and bring out videos. My wife edited them and shot them and all with topics out of that time. And so I finished them, which I was, when I started, none of the songs were, I had a list of songs, different topics, and none of the lyrics written and none of the music been ready. I went there with my equipment and then day by day, it was a challenge, but it was very cool. And I was so happy I did it because it's like, I felt like, look, you have to use the time now. And by the way, we still had a great, wonderful holiday as a family. It's nice. Happened always in the time when the boys slept because they're teenagers. And I was so happy doing it when I see, you know, that's one of the ways, like I felt like that's one of the magic moments in a way. When you do really these challenges and you go through it and you push yourself through it, when you listen to it, it's just that unique moment. And I'm so happy. I was never so happy listening to my own music, doing like that rough acoustic way than now, because I felt like that was the, you know, how you call it, authentic. That was the authentic Benny you want to see. And that was the, you know, that was just roughly that what I am. And I'm so happy I did it.
I enjoyed listening to several of those songs, Benny. What I loved about it was that you intentionally did not produce it. And so it was like a concert with Benny in the backyard.
Yeah, that was the intent.
Yeah. Where you were also just, I mean, also performing the songs for the first time.
Yeah.
And I think if you would have stretched it out, you probably would have noodled around with the lyrics a little more or added some more instrumentally, and it would have lost some of that authenticity.
Yes, I come from the background where I know how it is to produce songs and overproduce songs. And the intention was like just that moment, you know, the capture of a moment, like a screenshot, you know, or like And honestly, with the music, I totally agree. With the lyrics, they are like that, and they will stay like that because that's like I work more. I'm a lyricist, so that's where I come from, and that's like something I'm totally like now. For me, the lyrics are first, and then I do the music. Yeah, with the music, of course, like you could do more, but that's like there was also good challenge to just say no. Just stay there, you know. For me, it was important. The quality is good, and everything else is like just like how it is, you know. That moment captured like that, and you know, it's like sometimes it happened. Like I wrote the lyrics and the song within a half an hour, and then just recorded, and after 1 hour, it was gone. Went a little bit through the lyrics, and that I mostly take more time. Because just like if you have the lyrics first, you And then the music comes, and you have a certain rhythm, you maybe get some words out again, you know, like this. But that's some automatic thing. But like content-wise, and like I'm like totally, totally, if I listen to it now, I would not change anything. So, and that's like something also like you have to, I learned, like, because that is the moment, and it is the one, you know. It's not pop music, it's like maybe what you would call folk or something, you know.
In that direction, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's on your Instagram site?
Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, everywhere.
Okay. We can add links to those in the show notes and people can look that up.
Yes.
Any other projects on your horizon?
I'm now finishing music-wise. The thing is, like, between my first album and this now, I did a lot of concerts and also a lot of songs I recorded. And so there are two EPs I want to record. I felt like I started them last week, also in a very rough way. But I felt like now creativity is a little bit after that experience. I thought, like, okay, I let go now. I don't push myself too much. So these things are planned. But I put the pressure away from me. Said, like, look, like, don't force yourself, because anyway, my job is a lot I have to do, and I'm not a full paid musician. I'm just like, you know, doing it aside, also family. There is a big priority as well. So, but that's something I want to finish, because I feel like it's very important to, like, you know, to let go also of the things of the past, also the topics of your past you had. They changed. And it's good to memorize them and put them, you know, put them in the history books, you know, and record them and put them out just on Spotify and Co. Yeah. That's one thing. And then, another things, more of these podcasts and more of these topics, recording more music. That's also something I want to focus more now on, like, because that's why it was good to bring it out, not so much on my past, on the past songs, doing more of these things and getting music out. And that's what I feel. One thing I learned, look, I don't want to wait anymore on people who record anything or do anything for me. I just do it myself. I have the equipment. I do the things. I let the stories out and let the people listen to it, you know, and because, like, otherwise we wait till we are 60, 70, 80 and nothing has happened. So it's good to take a step and do these things. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Benny, thanks again for your time. I know it came at the end of a busy day for you.
All good.
But before we sign off, is there anything else that you want to share? Anything that's come to mind at the end now that you think, oh, I wish I would have said that?
None. I would say one thing, maybe some most topic when I see like a guideline of my life is like, the easiest way is not always the best way, yeah. But the hard way is also the most hurtful way, you know. It's always both, but it's like I would say that's the more you open up, the more you show from yourself, the more you more let go, the more thing will also happen. Yeah, that's what maybe something I would like to share. Yeah,
thanks, it's good stuff.
Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, is a production of I Am Intercultural, a division of Exigent Communication, in partnership with Envision Berlin. Please like, share, and subscribe. Podcast music is by Mike Piccinato.